So, Joan, let's go on a little bit, please. We're looking at celebrations and parties. We're thinking about the Queen's Jubilee as well. And if we go to the next one, Joan, the Queen's Jubilee. And this young man here, he's not had a lot of limelight, really, but he's the chap who designed the Queen's Platinum Jubilee logo. He is a Leeds student who won a national competition to design the emblem back in August 2021. He's a BA graphic and communication design student, and he's called Edward Roberts, and I think he's done a pretty good job, don't you? He created the emblem in his spare time and submitted it to the competition, which was run by Buckingham Palace and the V&A Museum in London. And obviously we've got the stylized crown, the number 70, incorporated at the top, the purple background similar to a royal seal. And there were hundreds of entries for that competition. So well done, Edward, I think. Okay, let's just have a moment of prayer, first of all. Let's just pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the reign of your servant Elizabeth, our Queen, and for the example of loving and faithful service which she has shown among us. Help us to follow her example of dedication and to commit our lives to you and to one another through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to begin with a video song. It's called Thank You, Lord. The last time we sang this, we sang the slow version, and I didn't realise the slow version is in a different key as well. So that was a big mistake. I should have stuck with the slow version. But I thought it's a party. I thought we're in a party mood. So this one rollicks along at a fair old pace. It does rollick along.
For you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I can see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with eyes that dumb, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Done in my life, you took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My sin and my shame,
thank you, Lord.
If I can just explain for folks listening on the CD, and whilst I'm doing that, apologise to Joan. Joan is very kindly operating the computer, and I gave her a script. The only trouble is I forgot to follow the script. So, Joan, could we please go back to the flag, the slide that says Guernsey flag, all right? Can I just explain? We've got, what, 6 tables in the church today, all spread out. They're crowded with groups of people, all looking ecstatically worn out after that first song, and the musicians are amazing because they managed to somehow play in the right key when they've got the music for the wrong key, and they're looking slightly sort of relieved, and you know, they're almost mopping their brows, right? And they've got a couple of people sat around the side also just here to take part, and that's fantastic. So here we are. This is actually a slide of a Guernsey stamp. Okay, Princess Elizabeth was just 27 when she was crowned Queen Elizabeth II, and now she is the first British monarch to celebrate a platinum jubilee after 70 years on the throne. During the whole time, according to Andrew Marr, there are no reliable recorded incidents of the Queen losing her temper, using bad language, or refusing to carry out a duty expected of her. What an amazing thought. What an amazing thought. And I can instantly think of how many times I've not done that. And so the whole country has been having this fabulous party to celebrate. And I think it's worth remembering that Jesus loved parties. Jesus was not a party pooper. If you think that first miracle was turning water into wine with a group of people who really weren't quite expecting things to turn out the way they did. And then, of course, there's the record of the feeding of the 5,000, where there was a fantastic party with just a few fish and some loaves. Jesus creating something miraculous out of the seemingly impossible. And equally, having the meal at Levi's house, where Jesus was criticized for going in with the tax collector, but I'm sure that was a real party for the whole household. And, of course, today, as well, is the birthday of the church. It is Pentecost Sunday. And in the general melee of everything else, we've sort of almost forgotten that. So we'll be thinking a bit about Pentecost as well as we go along this morning. The country's last diamond jubilee was for Queen Victoria. In 1897, here she is in the state landau with her brolly. I can't remember whether it was raining. No, I wasn't there. I think it's a sun parasol. I did hear this weekend, actually, that she was too frail to get out of the carriage, so everybody came out of the church and stood on the steps for the service, and the service was held outside. A family Thanksgiving service was held at Windsor Castle on Sunday, June the 20th, 1897, the 60th anniversary of her inheritance of the throne. And the following day, she returned to London to find, quote, a sea of colour had washed over the city's soot-coated streets. Union Jacks draped from house balconies, whilst festoons of flowers and rainbows of bunting soared overhead. The streets, the windows, the roofs of the houses were one mass of beaming faces, and the cheers never ceased. the Queen wrote in her journal. Amazing. Amazing. And it has been like that over this weekend, hasn't it? Well, possibly except Victoria Avenue, which is looking decidedly non-festoony with bunting. But anyway, there we go. But it's amazing, isn't it? None of us can know what the future will hold. That night at Buckingham Palace, there was a state banquet at which Victoria sat next to a handsome young man. Anybody know who he was? Not Albert. No. This was the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, whose 1914 assassination would spark the start of World War I. Little could they have known the significance of the seating plan at that celebration. No one could have known in 1897 that one day Victoria's great-great-granddaughter would become queen. And whilst we cannot know what the future holds, we too can rejoice not only in years past, but in years to come, including our own life after death, for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Saviour. Back again. Yeah, well, there's the question anyway. What one thing would you like to thank God for today? So in your groups, I'd like you to just think about that. Right. So what one thing would you like to thank God for today? Talk about that in your groups or where you're sitting for a few seconds now. Okay, I will report for the sake of those, again, listening, that the rush for the coffee table, I think Mandy Slingsby was in first place and Dorothy Williamson was a close second, although there was a bit of a steward's inquiry as to whether she pushed Maureen Coath out of the way to get to the table first. And I can also report that Joan and Morris are happily munching biscuits on the sound desk at the back, and nearly forgot to move us on. So anyway, here we go. And you've got the idea. Just help yourselves to refreshments over there and coffee. Don't think you can't whilst I'm talking. Just do that, okay? Yeah. It's good. Okay, why are we celebrating? And there are lots of things, just thinking about that question, there are lots of things that we can thank God for, aren't there? So, why are we celebrating? Well, you know, we celebrate for all sorts of reasons, don't we? We celebrate with sweets, we celebrate major events, we celebrate things we remember, perhaps even sometimes things we'd like to forget. Princess Elizabeth was born Elizabeth Alexandra Mary on April the 21st, 1926. She became Queen Elizabeth II in 1952 at the age of 25. But life began with no expectations of becoming queen. December 1936 was the dramatic turning point in her life when her uncle David, King Edward VIII, stunned the world and his family by abdicating the throne to marry Wallace Simpson, throwing the 10-year-old Elizabeth into the direct line of succession. Her father, Prince Albert, took the title King George VI, and his elder daughter now became his immediate heir, the very first in line. King George VI suffered from lung cancer for much of his later life and died in his sleep on February the 6th, 1952, at the age of 56. And upon his death, Princess Elizabeth, his oldest daughter, became Queen of England. Over a year after her father's death, Queen Elizabeth II's coronation was held at Westminster Abbey on June the 2nd, 1953. It was the first televised coronation in history, and apparently interest was such that more TV sets were bought in the 2 months before the coronation than in any other two-month period since then. More than half the UK population watched the ceremony, 27 million people, with a further 11 million listening on the radio. A long ago coronation. Here's a glimpse of that, Morris. We will need the volume up for this. It's a bit quiet.
From the Dean of Westminster, the Archbishop received the St. Edward's crown, which the sovereigns of this realm wear once only at their coronation. Peers now donned their own coronet.
Here's a question for you. What were you doing on June the 2nd, 1953, if you were born then? And what is your earliest memory of the Queen? A couple of minutes just to think on that one, please. Okay, just out of interest, could somebody just raise a poll? Did any tables have anybody who's actually met the Queen? No, Oh, right, okay, yes. And actually, I'm not going to ask how many people were born at that time. No, we won't go that way. I did wonder, for some of us, what the young Princess Elizabeth was like. So with one dexterous click only, please, Joan, we should be able to have a little presentation. And there is some audio with this, please, Morris. Our young queen as a princess. We're going to have a moment to sing. I know some of you have been stretching your legs by heading for refreshments. That's fine. But if you haven't done that, it may be time to stand. God of the Morning. And you will recognize the tune to this. I tried, with the exception of the first song, I tried to choose songs where you'd be likely to know the tune. And I think this is quite a good one. God of the Morning. Well done. So, what about the Queen at work? What sort of things does the Queen do when she's working? I wonder if you've ever wondered what else she does all day. I think we've got three slides here, Joan. Let's have a look at these. So, there she is signing papers, waving, holding flowers, sitting at her desk. I guess these are important things. And the next one, please, Joan. Oh, yeah, visiting a ceramics factory, I think. There she is on a Zoom cast on the top picture. And there, of course, she is knighting Sir Tom Moore in that occasion. But yes, knighting people. And that steely stare, or it's not really a stare, is it? That sort of look make most people wither. And they're doing a television broadcast for her Christmas message with the cameras there in front of her. Lots of things there to do. According to Finty.com, I can't vouch for its authenticity. It says the Queen wakes each morning at 7:30 in the morning. She stays in bed for a few minutes listening to the Today programme on Radio 4. After a bath, she dresses in an outfit as arranged by her personal assistant. She has three personal dressers that help her into her clothes in a dressing room, featuring floor-to-ceiling mirrors and a walk-in wardrobe. It sounds like IKEA. Anyway, While dressing, the maids bring her a steaming pot of Earl Grey tea with cold milk. She doesn't take any sugar in her tea. Oh, goodness gracious me, no. Then after dressing, her hairdressers will brush and style her hair. Then she enters her office at 9:30 in the morning, puts in 2 hours of paperwork, beginning with the press secretary providing the Queen with a brief on global events. A light breakfast at 8:30. Then she meets with incoming or outgoing foreign dignitaries, giving them a 10-minute audience in the audience room at the palace. Then she breaks for lunch at 1:30. She likes to stretch her legs with a stroll in the palace gardens. She usually walks alone, but she might have family members with her. She's known to be very protective of that sort of private time. Then after her walk, she relaxes for 30 minutes. Says relaxes. Do I think that's a nap? I don't know. I'm not going to say that. She relaxes for 30 minutes reading the Racing Post. Then she ends the afternoon engagements by 4:30, returning to the palace dining room at 5 for tea. Tea includes sandwiches, always without crusts. Cut into four. Her Majesty also enjoys warm scones with cream and jam and a slice of Dundee fruitcake. After tea, she returns to her office for an hour to wrap up the day's work, and unless she has to attend an evening event, she'll typically retire to her room at 6, ready herself a dinner at 8. And then she generally goes to bed at 11. Yeah, she stays up quite late. But she does enjoy reading a bit before she turns. Of course, also being a queen is sometimes tricky. Some parts of the job of being a queen are difficult. Let's have a look at this one and her comments about it.
The most important items used in the coronation are the monarch's two crowns. If the Queen has only worn St. Edward's gold crown once, she is much more familiar with this, the diamond-encrusted imperial state crown. She wore it at the end of her coronation and for most state openings of Parliament since.
You see, it's much smaller, isn't it? I mean, it was the same height. You know, it would have been up to about there when my father wore it.
I mean, it was huge then.
Yes, very unwieldy.
It's difficult to always remember that diamonds are stones, so very heavy.
Yes. Fortunately, my father and I have about the same sort of shaped head. But once you put it on, it stays. I mean, it just remains itself.
You have to keep your head very still.
Yes. And you can't look down to read the speech. You have to take the speech up. Because if you did, your neck would break. It would fall off. So there are some disadvantages to crowns, but otherwise they're quite important things.
I don't know what the health and safety executive would think about wearing crowns. They'd probably say, well, if that's the risk of wearing a crown, you shouldn't do it. So wearing crowns requires strength. But here's a question for you. Do you think there are ways in which God gives other strengths to our Queen? And what do you think they might be? Just a couple of minutes to chat amongst yourselves about that question. There are, I'm sure, lots of ways in which God gives the Queen strength. And in fact, lots of ways in which God gives us strength to cope through the difficulties, the vicissitudes of life. I can hardly say that. Good job you didn't try, yes. Okay. I wonder what it would be like Imagine just meeting the Queen. How would you feel? What would be your reaction? Well, particularly for the children who are here this morning, here's an example of meeting the Queen. But actually, on an adult level, just imagine how it probably reflects exactly how we would feel as well. Thank you, Joan.
Pepper and her family are watching television.
And now, a special message from the Queen.
The Queen! The Queen!
This is the Queen.
Hello to you all.
Hello, Queen!
Today, I have decided to give an award to the hardest working person in the country.
I wonder who that will be.
It certainly won't be you, darling.
The hardest working person in the country is Miss Rabbit.
Ooh.
Miss Rabbit runs the ice cream stall, the recycling centre, the library. She drives the train, the fire engine, flies a rescue helicopter, and works the supermarket checkout.
Phew! What a long day.
Surprise!
Ah! What are you lot doing here?
Miss Rabbit, I have a very special letter for you.
Open it!
Miss Rabbit, please come to my palace to get a medal for all your hard work. Bring friends, all the best, the Queen.
Ooh.
Miss Rabbit has fainted.
I can't visit the Queen. I've got too much work to do.
Relax. No one will be working that day.
The Queen has made it a holiday.
Hooray!
It is the day Miss Rabbit visits the Queen. Pepper and her friends are going too.
We're off to see the Queen. We're off to see the Queen. E-I-O-T-O. We're off to see the Queen.
This is the Queen's palace.
Hello? Is anybody there?
Look at all that fancy stuff.
Don't touch anything. Oops.
What a big house.
Lots of room for a queen to kick a ball about.
Where is the Queen? Queen, Queen, where are you?
Hello. Have you seen the Queen today?
She's an old lady with a crown on her head.
I am the Queen.
Miss Rabbit has fainted again.
Hello, Mrs. Queen.
Why aren't you wearing a crown?
I don't wear it much because it's very heavy.
Are you the boss of all the world?
Not quite.
Do you tell people what to do?
Sometimes.
Can you make teachers disappear?
Oh, so many questions.
The children are very excited to meet you, Your Majesty.
I'm excited to meet all of you. And now for Miss Rabbit's medal.
Ooh.
This is the Queen's Award for Industry. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Three cheers for Miss Rabbit. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip. Hip, hip, hip.
Hooray!
Now for the party. To the garden.
You've got a lovely big garden, Your Majesty.
Do you play in it all the time?
I don't have much time for playing, no.
That's sad.
Oh, dear, a muddy puddle. Never mind, we can walk around it.
You can't walk around a muddy puddle.
No?
No! You have to jump in it.
Oh, I see. That does look fun. Here one goes, then.
Stop! If you jump in muddy puddles, you must wear your boots, Your Majesty.
Oh, dear. The Queen is not wearing her boots.
Whee!
The Queen loves jumping up and down in muddy puddles. Everyone loves jumping up and down in muddy puddles.
Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig.
Last question at this stage, and after this we'll be looking at the answers to the quiz sheet. So if you haven't had a go at the quiz sheet, have a go at that, or think about this question. Have you ever met or seen the Queen or member of the royal family? Perhaps you saw her when she came to Crewkerne or somewhere else in Somerset. Okay, well, how much do you know? I will allow you to mark your own sheets, okay? You know, I'm sure you can be honest here. But anyway, Joan will reveal the answers in a moment as we slip through these and just see how many of these you actually knew. So here's the first question. So, 17 Bruton Street, Mayfair, is it a Chinese restaurant, a fish and chip shop, or a supermarket? It is. With a click. It's a Chinese restaurant. My goodness me. Okay, and the next one. What was she called at home? Liz, Lilibet, or Betty? I think this is probably the easiest one on the sheet. And, of course, it's Lilibet. There we go. Okay, number three, a treasured doll in a red coat with a matching beret. Was it called Pamela, Penny, or Pate? And it's Pamela. Ooh, there we go. Number four, what did young Elizabeth call her grandfather? Grandpa Five, Grandpa King, or Grandpa England? And it's Grandpa England. Number five, Sandringham. What was the exotic crop that they grew at Sandringham? Was it black truffles, medlars, or hemp? It was black truffles. Number six, 1,500 Lohmann Browns. What are Lohmann Browns? Are they hens, ponies, or birds of prey? They're hens. Very good. Yep. Number seven. What breed were the dogs? Bisto, Oxo, Flash, Spick, and Span. Were they Golden Retrievers, Cocker Spaniels, or Dalmatians? Obviously, they weren't Corgis. So what were they? They were Cocker Spaniels. Gun dogs. Number eight. Monty, Willow, and Holly appeared with Daniel Craig in James Bond, or appeared in Royal Portraits, or have all bitten the Royal Guardsman. What do you think? Oh, okay, let's have a look. There were the ones with Daniel Craig. You've seen them. All right, you should have known that. Fancy suggesting they'd bite a guardsman. Number nine, Orioles second place in 1953. Is this the Grand National, the Cheltenham Gold Cup, or the Derby? All right, the odds are on the Cheltenham Gold Cup. It's the Derby. Never trust a golfer. That's clearly the answer there. And number 10, which nation presented her with a pair of sloths? Was it Brazil, Malaysia, or Belize? It was Brazil. Yeah, we didn't know that, did we? No, no. Number 11, the name of the first corgi. Was it Susan, Mary, or Emma? Okay, and it was indeed Susan. And the last one, 1991 animal-related incident. Was that feeding a trained bird of prey, or caught in horses' reins, or breaking up a corgi fight? Okay, and it's the corgi fight, yes. So I think if you got, 10 or above, you're a pretty good royalist. Oh, yes. If you got sort of somewhere between 5 and 9, well, you could do better. And 4 or less, well, clearly you're a Republican. Okay. Let's just pause for a moment and let's just pray. Here's a prayer. Let us pray. A moment of pause, a moment of calm. Almighty and gracious God, 70 years ago, a young woman, Elizabeth, made a commitment to serve you in the life to which you called her. We thank you that through all the changes in public life and personal life, she has remained faithful to that commitment. May we also hear your voice, respond to your call, seek your guidance, and remain faithful as we journey the pilgrimage of life with you. Bless us, Lord, and bless our Queen. Amen. Here's an opportunity to stretch your legs again as we sing together. Here we are giving. Here we are giving hands of our plenty, fruit of thanksgiving, tribute of love. Our overflowing cannot stand empty, constantly growing, grace from above. Quite as planned, and I'm therefore going to ask Joan to skip the next clip and move straight on. All right. What I think, oh yes, we'll go straight into this one. Sorry. So, go back. It's interesting that at party time, not everybody feels like a party, and the disciples certainly didn't feel like a party when it came to Pentecost. They were really, really a bit miserable, quite frankly. They'd seen the resurrection. They believed that Jesus was going to come back and empower them, but they weren't quite sure what that was going to look like. So some friends of Albert's here decided to just help explain to you what happened at Pentecost, this birthday celebration that is something Christians are also celebrating today. Thank you, Joan.
Pentecost in the book of Acts in the Bible, which was written by St. Luke to explain the journey and life of the church right after Jesus ascended into heaven. Remember that from our last video? Yeah, so, Pentecost in the Greek language, Pentecoste, actually means 50th, because in the Jewish tradition, which Jesus and his disciples were a part of, Pentecost happened 50 days after the Passover. You know, that's when Jesus and his disciples had that Last Supper. Nowadays in the church, Pentecost signifies the final day of the season of Easter, where we've been celebrating Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. We sometimes call Pentecost the birthday of the church. We do this because it's kind of like the day the church was born. It's the day the disciples and Mary were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, what actually happened on Pentecost? Well, all the disciples were together in a house in Jerusalem when suddenly a sound like a crazy intense wind came and filled the place. Then, what looked like fire came down and rested on each of their heads. At that point, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, which allowed them to speak in all different languages. Yay for learned teachers!
Viva!
So at that time in Jerusalem, there were heaps of people from all different nations. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. No Australians, unfortunately. Which is weird, because every time I travel, I always seem to run into Australians. Anyway, when these people heard the sound, they came running to the house where the disciples were. And they were super confused because they could all hear the disciples speaking in their own languages.
Huh?
So, Peter gets up and explains to the crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all people, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So 3,000 people dedicated their lives to Jesus that day. 3,000! And people kept coming to the church from that day onwards. Until today, 2,000 years later, there are over 2.5 billion people following Jesus. So, what does this mean for us today? Well, remember how Jesus promised to his disciples, "I will be with you always," when he ascended into heaven? This is him following through on that promise. He sent his Holy Spirit to fill each of us up. You may not see us with tongues of fire on our head or speaking 20 different languages, but even better than that, you will see us with patience, kindness, joy, love, faithfulness, peace, and goodness. Happy birthday, church.
The cross, who believe in Jesus, is something that maintains, sustains, and retains the vibrancy and vitality in our lifestyle. It's interesting with the Queen. If you think, she's met Margaret Thatcher every week for 11 years, but no one really knows what she thought of her. Or later, of Tony Blair. She keeps her thoughts to herself, yet, curiously, that is not the case of her faith in Jesus, where she's spoken of Jesus as her inspiration, her role model, her anchor. The one recurrent theme in her broadcasts is that of caring for one's neighbor. And apart from the frequent emphasis on duty to others, it's no surprise that apart from the accounts of Jesus' birth, the passage of the Bible she most often cites is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's just remind ourselves of that. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him up and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I think there is no doubt that the Queen has done just that throughout her reign. Thank you, Joan. We're not actually going to spend time on this one now, but you might just like to reflect on this and take this one away with you. How do we follow Christ's instruction to do likewise? To follow the story of the Good Samaritan. So, being queen is more than just waving. It's more than just signing papers. It's more than just meeting world leaders. It's more than keeping corgis, and it's more than hats. She is, after all, also the supreme governor of the Church of England, as well as being the UK's longest reigning monarch. The title reflects a genuine Christian faith, and she often talks on how faith in Jesus inspires her and keeps her going. She said this in her Christian message, a Christmas message in 2002. I know just how much I rely on my own faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God. Like others of you who draw inspiration from your own faith, I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel. The remarkable thing about the reign of Queen Elizabeth II is not its duration, but its quality. Her whole public life has been characterized by a commitment to duty and Christ-like service, described as a servant queen guided by the servant king. And in 2014, she said, "For me, the life of Jesus Christ is an inspiration and an anchor." And if we look at the picture of the older queen, it's not just Christ-like service that the queen models, it's perseverance. We're all given the same lifelong call to serve Jesus and our neighbors. And the queen's life is a clear image of how that can look, as God bears fruit through us now and over the decades. Psalm 45 verse 9 says, "King's daughters are among your noble women." And indeed, we have been blessed with the reign of a noble woman in our lifetime. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, you are God above all nations, rulers, and leaders. And so we thank you for the faithful service of Elizabeth, our Queen, in this, her Platinum Jubilee year. Grant her grace to fulfill her coronation vows to you as our earthly ruler. Strengthen her faith, deepen her life of prayer, bless her example of godliness, and magnify her experience of your love, that she may continue to be a beacon of stability and hope for our country. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. A new song was written for the Jubilee, "Rise Up and Sing Anthem," it was called. And all the time you've been chatting, I've been subliminally planting it in your brain, because that's the tune that was playing in the background. So hopefully you can't say, "I don't know it." All right. So we'll have a go at singing this together if we can. Rise up and sing.
Oh,
Okay, well done. Again, the Queen saying, for me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example. In a moment, we're going to play a piece of music, but whilst that is happening, that's another song that you might be able to join in, we're going to just leave you with a gift this morning, and I'm going to ask, actually, Mandy and Christine, if they could just help distribute those. We have a bookmark for you that says Platinum Jubilee, Chard Baptist Church, and they're over here. And because this is very much about looking forward to the future as well as the past, come on, Albert, where are they? There we go. So do please take one of these bookmarks. But because this is also about the future as well as the past, and we have three children with us today, and it's your future as much as our past, I just have some special purple ones for you. The rest of us adults have got blue ones, but it also goes with a beautiful purple dress. So you can have these to stick in your favourite reading book at home as well. Do take a bookmark and put it in something that you long to read, and may it remind you of the Queen and our service today. And whilst we're just doing that, we're just going to play this other song that we had last week, just whilst we're sending those around, which you may want to join in with whilst you're sitting. Thank you, Joan. If there's anybody else that you would like to take a bookmark for, somebody who you know would normally be in church and isn't here, do put your hand up now and we can let you have those as well. And then any that are left over, we will keep for church members who might be here in a couple of weeks, and then they'll also go into the welcome BAP where they can be given out to customers and people coming in there.
So we've got, we know that Brendan and Steve are not here. We know we've not got Jay and Lizzie. Anybody else that's not here that you already...
Thank you so much for joining with us in our celebration of our Queen today. I know some of you are staying for the church lunch. That is fine. Just stay where you are, so to speak. Well, I say that. You may want to change seats, but that's okay. All right. I know some of you are going on to other events and are unable to stay. That's fine. All right. We look forward to you enjoying your afternoon wherever you are. Take a moment to stretch your legs, and then we'll be bringing in tables with the food and that, I think, in a few moments' time. But it would be nice to maybe just finish formally with the national anthem. I can't think of anything better, except I forgot to put the words on the screen. So, up to your memory. If you don't know the words, that's fine. Just enjoy listening to the music and thinking. One verse. Thank you, Eileen. And equally, if you feel that perhaps a bit like Albert, you've been a bit of a spare part today, don't feel like that. God loves you just where you are, how you are, what you are. All right? Enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you for coming, and do enjoy your lunch, whether it's here or further afield. Thank you. Oh, and I also should say in advance, thank you to the setup team here in church who put up the flowers and the decorations. Thank you to the catering team, and thank you to the musicians. And thank you for coming.
We give thanks for Her Majesty. In honor of the faithful hearts who chose to serve and to praise.